Hey, let's bring in Charles Davis. He joins us from the NFL Network. Hi, Charles. You're on with Scott and Jeremy. Let's talk first about the game we have in Baltimore this week. Saints come in here on a roll, 5 in a row. It's a little panic setting in here in Baltimore. You've watched it, the loss to the Steelers in a tight game, and then you know they blow a 28-7 second half lead and find a way to win in overtime. But give me your assessment of the two teams coming into this game.
Yeah, right now, and this is the funny part about this league, as you guys well know, you can essentially take snapshots every week, and then those snapshots will change on you.
Yeah.
Just when you think you've got a team figured out and you've got them kind of typed, they come back the next week and do something different. So if you're going off the snapshot of what we've seen last week or even, as you pointed out, recently, let's go to the last couple of weeks, the Saints seem to be ascending and Baltimore seems to be struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a legit concern for Baltimore because blowing that lead to Houston wasn't the first time this year. I think they threw that graphic up Monday Night Football about fourth quarter and what's happened to them a couple of times this year. So with that vaunted defense, you start to ask questions. Okay, is it because the offense has turned it over too many times? Is it because of field position? Are they just wearing down at a certain stage of the year? Do they start to sleepwalk because they're up 28-7? These are all questions that they're going to have to answer because from here on out, it just gets tougher. For the Saints, here's the kicker about the Saints. I had them last week, guys.
Mm-hmm.
They have gotten into this habit of early rush, total assault on people. I think they are plus 72 in the first quarter now of games this year.
Jeez.
So they were 14-0 on the Rams before Rams knew what hit them. But they've had this habit of saying, you know, let's go to sleep for a while. And let's see how it goes in the fourth quarter. Because Dallas, they were up 14. They were up 14 on, I forget who it was the week before. Cincinnati. And ended up having to win on their last drives down the stretch, including a great play by Malcolm Jenkins. So concerns on both sides about putting together full efforts to finish things. But I think more concerns in Baltimore. They seem to be scuffling a little bit more as the season goes along. New Orleans seems to be gaining a little bit of momentum, trying to get some people back healthy.
A double barrel question here, Charles. Ravens defense fourth quarter gave up a 90-yard drive, a 95-yard drive, and if you saw the game, that group was dead tired. They were beat, and then they play some overtime. The residual effect, they got home at 4 in the morning or whatever after that, the residual effect of having some fresh legs, at least on the front seven guys, those bigger guys, going into the Saints game.
Yeah, it's going to be tough because you know what the Saints are going to do to those front seven. They're going to move them, all right? They got Pierre Thomas back, which means that adds to their running back screen game. It's not just Reggie Bush. It's Pierre Thomas now. Do they feel comfortable doing that? They're going to spread it and move it. They're going to move Breeze around. They're going to try and make you rush the passer a bunch early to try and wear those guys down a little bit. Because you guys know what it's like to drive. I mean, that picture of Jarrett Johnson.
Yeah, he was dead.
Trying to walk off the field after he almost got Schaub before that last pass to Andre Johnson. That kind of said it all to me about where they are right now and just how difficult things have been. And, guys, what they have going on is not going to be cured by a fiery speech from Ray Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Ray can do all the speeches he wants and pound his chest and do his dance and do all those other things. That's all great, but now you got to go play 60. And right now that team needs a break. And so what they're going to need is the Saints to do what they've been doing in recent games. Drew Brees is as accurate a thrower as there is in this game, guys. He's right back again at that 70% level he was last year when he set an NFL record. But this year he's thrown 18 interceptions. And for the life of me, I can't figure it out. I've plugged in game tape. I've watched. I can't quite figure out what's going on and why the spate of interceptions. But when he doesn't throw interceptions, they move the ball downfield pretty well. So this is going to be incumbent on Baltimore not to give up these long drives and find a way to get off the field quicker. Not just get off the field on third down, but quicker, because otherwise that wears you down as you get into the fourth quarter, as we saw with Houston.
Charles, what's your take on the rest of the AFC? Who wins the South? Who wins the West? And I think it's going to be important because I think for all intents and purposes, we think the Jets and the Ravens, unless something miraculous happens and they're able to get that first round bye, that those two teams will have to go on the road and face the winners of those two divisions.
Yeah, and there's no lock, even though the West is, quote-unquote, the weaker division. You know, it's down to Kansas City and San Diego, and one of the weird stats. You remember last year that Cincinnati swept the North Division in winning the division title, and that was a big, big deal? Do you know that Oakland has swept the West so far?
Yeah, they have a chance to go undefeated in that division and not make the playoffs.
And not make the playoffs. I mean, they're in third place.
It's crazy.
It doesn't look good for them. I still say San Diego's going to merge out West. I still have that confidence in them. Maybe it's just too much relying on past history. But, the momentum, I'm still trying to figure out what happened to them with Oakland, but that's a whole other story. But I still say they come out of the West. I say in the South, obviously, it's Jacksonville and Indianapolis. And I'm one of those guys that falls back on history too much because right now Jacksonville's a better football team than Indianapolis. And I think they're Indianapolis' worst nightmare in terms of a matchup. Physical, hard-hitting team, loves to run the football, pound at you. And Maurice Jones-Drew's got six straight 100-yard games. Rashad Jennings was over 100 last week. Can David Garrard be that guy that they need in this big game? And he can if they run the football. I mean, he gets a lot of credit for how well he plays. But, guys, you remember, he got that big contract when they ran the heck out of the football that year and they went to the playoffs. Remember his stats that year? It was only 19 touchdown passes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not trying to damn him with faint praise, but it's not like they were relying on his arm. He was getting that off of the play action, and that's why things work. 19 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. That's the formula they have going again right now. But I just get to – I mean, it's hard for me to look at Peyton and think that he's going to continue – You know, he didn't last week. He played really well. I think that somehow Indianapolis finds a way to win this one, then we got to sprint to the finish.
Charles Davis with us from the NFL Network. Charles, I'll let you take this one. I was going to answer an email. Somebody wrote in and said, you talk about the Ravens being on the field so long in the second half. Their defense was out there constantly. But doesn't the offense get tired? But there is a difference. Explain it. You've been down there.
Yeah, you know, the offense doesn't get tired because a lot of the times in what they're doing, They're on the attack, and it's a mental right. It's a mental thing. You're on the attack. You're moving the ball. You feel like you're getting the you're dominating that team. You don't think about being tired when you have the upper hand. It's when someone is carrying the fight to you that all of a sudden you realize how long you've been out there, how long this has gone on, how many blows you're absorbing. It's like being a boxer. You know, that guy was on his toes in the 14th, 15th rounds back in the days when you went 14 and 15.
Right.
You know, the 11th and 12th rounds.
Yeah.
That guy's not feeling the same fatigue as a guy who's under assault, under siege, as well as, you know, you're rotating in and out with receivers, you know, running right. back to rotate in and out. All those things go into play also.
And the Ravens...
That fatigue is not nearly the same.
Yeah, I was going to say, and the Ravens were in that three-man front, and those guys trying to chase down a quarterback, it's a lot easier to pass block than it is running all over the edge trying to get after a quarterback.
Yeah, what those are mini sprints.
Right.
You know, they're flat-out mini sprints, as you pointed out, pass blocking. Snap the ball, set up two or three steps back, and then you hold your ground. It's not quite the same. Do you get tired? Yeah, but it's not. They're not the same. And if you're having success, as I said before, mentally it feels good. How many times have we watched a good game? How many times have you watched Baltimore over the years where they're dominating someone on offense, running the football and all?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the offensive line looking at the sideline and shaking their fist like, bring me another play.
Yeah,
let's
right,
go.
Right.
It's a whole different mindset, and that fatigue doesn't kick in the same way.
Charles, last thing for you. Eagles taking on the Giants, kind of a big game. What's your take on it? Giants now with short rest because they were forced to play on Monday night.
Yeah, I'm in the minority on this one. I like the Giants in this game, although I'm hedging my bet a little because of the Steve Smith injury and Mario Manningham injuries. And I'm counting on Eli Manning to actually take care of the football. Same thing I said about Drew Brees,
mm-hmm.
although worse because Eli's also giving up the fumbles. I think he's got 19 interceptions and 5 fumbles. But that's uncharacteristic of him. I keep waiting for the Eli I've seen snap it back into gear and not throw those picks because I think the Giants can contain Michael Vick. No one's going to stop him. Maybe they can contain him enough and allow their pass rush to do a little bit of damage and Perry Fuel mix and match a few things on defense. I don't care about the short week. I think they're at that stage of the year now where their eyes are firmly planted on what can get done. So I'm picking the Giants. I like them more before Smith limped off the field on Monday night. I like them more before Manningham did. But I think most people are leaning towards Philly. I like the Giants to win this one and then go on and win the division. The Giants were totally in that game in Philly until Eli pulled one of the most unathletic dives I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, most of the time, guys, when we grew up, wasn't the kid who played quarterback also your shortstop? And
usually, yeah. Best athlete on the team.
Two-guard in basketball that scored 25 a game? Eli looked like a guy who is what I call a quarterback savant. He can throw the football, but you don't want to pick him up for any three-on-three hoops or anything like that. At least that's what he looked like on that play, which really surprised me.
Charles, thanks for your time. I always enjoy your visits.
Anytime. You guys take care of yourselves. Enjoy the rest of the season.
All right. Happy holidays. Charles Davis from the NFL Network.